We are continuing our series of debates on the issues that appear on your California ballot. Today, we're going to take up the one that has drawn more spending than any other ballot proposition to date. This is Proposition 8, which is an intervention into the kidney dialysis industry. What the core measure in the proposition would do is cap profits. Kidney dialysis providers would not be able to charge more than 15% above their costs. If they do wind up charging more than that, they would have to issue refunds to the party paying. In many cases, that would be insurance companies, in some cases, patients. This measure has drawn about $100 million in opposition spending so far, largely from the kidney dialysis industry, a little over $18 million in support, the vast majority from Service Employees International Union, United Healthcare's West, a union that has had aspirations of organizing workers at dialysis clinics. We're joined now by spokespeople for the two campaigns. In the affirmative, Sean Werley. He's a spokesperson with Yes on Prop 8. He's an employee of SEIU United Healthcare West. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And on the con side, Kathy Fairbanks. She is a partner in the public relations firm Bicker Castillo and Fairbanks, spokesperson for the No on Proposition 8 Coalition. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Sean, since you're in the affirmative, we will start with you. Take 2 minutes, make the case. Why should the state intervene in kidney dialysis profits?
Dialysis patient care in California is in crisis. For the 80,000 Californians with kidney failure, they are going to clinics that too often are unsanitary and understaffed. This is putting them at risk, and this is something that needs to stop. The only problem is that the two big corporations, DaVita and Fresenius, their priority is not patients, it's profits. They've made a combined $4 billion profits across the country last year from their dialysis operations. And while they could do right by their patients, they've chosen not to. What seems to be their priority is the shareholders. And so Proposition 8 reorients that. It says, invest more in your patients, invest more in the workers who are caring for them. You will still make a profit at the end of the day. It just won't be the outrageous one that you're currently making. And it should also be noted that for everyone who is not on dialysis, they are indirectly bearing the costs because DaVita and Fresenius are price gouging. They are charging 4 to 5 times as much for people on private insurance as government. And that gets passed down to all of us in the form of higher premiums. So this initiative, Proposition 8, will stop that. It's why it's been endorsed by 145 organizations, including the California Democratic Party.
Kathy Fairbanks, you're the opposition. Take 2 minutes. Why do you think it's a bad proposition?
Thanks very much. It's a bad proposition for a number of reasons. And much of what Sean said is mischaracterizing the state of dialysis in California right now. But I'll get to that in a second. I want to talk a little bit about Proposition 8 and how it works. Proposition 8 allows insurance companies to pay far less to dialysis clinics to reimburse them for the care that dialysis clinics provide their patients. These lower costs will prevent the clinics from covering, or these lower reimbursements will prevent the clinics from covering their costs. Eventually, this could lead to dialysis clinic closures, and dialysis patients must get dialysis 3 times a week for 3 to 4 hours at a time. Otherwise, after about 2 weeks, they will die. And if dialysis clinics or dialysis patients can't get care in the clinics, they'll be forced into the already overcrowded hospital emergency rooms. That's going to increase costs for everyone, whether or not you know a dialysis patient, have one in your family. These costs will be passed on to every single Californian. And it's the impact, the negative impact on patients, the literal risking of their lives, plus the higher healthcare costs, which has drawn the opposition of the medical community in California, including the California Medical Association, American Nurses Association, emergency room physicians, and many other groups, about 165 groups total, are opposed to Proposition 8, in addition to every single newspaper editorial board in California, including the Chronicle, which said Proposition 8 is a measure that does not belong on the state ballot, the Mercury News, which said Prop 8 could lead to fewer clinics providing dialysis for patients who critically need the service, and the LA Times, which said that Proposition 8 isn't about dialysis care. It's about punishing non-unionized clinics. Vote no.
Kathy Fairbanks, let me follow up on your first point. The ballot summary says that Proposition 8 would allow dialysis clinics to recover the costs of direct patient care, of improving the quality of care, training, patient education, technology support, and a 15% profit margin. Which costs are you saying are not going to be covered?
That it's the write-up by the Attorney General is based on the definition that was provided in Proposition 8. The Proposition 8 defines certain allowable costs that clinics can multiply by 115% and then bill that to the insurance companies. However, the problem is in the definition of direct patient care costs, and the definition does leave out critical positions. For example, the physician medical director, an MD position, which is required by this federal government, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. You have to have that position staffed in every single dialysis clinic nationwide. That is not included in allowable costs under Proposition 8. Neither is a nurse manager position, an RN position, and the nurse clinical coordinator position also isn't included. These are three medical positions who provide direct patient care, which are not included in the definition of direct patient care services costs. It's curious why they left them out. We aren't quite sure. I mean, one of the conclusions could be that it was a mistake. Another conclusion could be that these are positions that can't be unionized. We are not sure, but these are three significant positions that do require provide direct patient care, and they're omitted from Prop 8.
Well, let's put this to Sean Worley for a response. This is the main line of attack on Proposition 8 from its opponents, that it would make it too expensive to operate kidney dialysis clinics for the reasons Kathy Fairbanks just specified, and they might start shutting down. What's your response?
So the study that she's referring to is one that was paid for by the dialysis corporations. They gave $200,000 to a group in the Bay Area, basically giving them the results they wanted. This is a scare tactic on the part of the industry. They want to protect their profits. They'll go to any end. They'll spend any dollar to protect that. And as a result, they are scaring voters. They're trying to buy them off by telling them that catastrophe awaits. In reality, they will make a solid profit under this initiative. It just won't be outrageous. And that's the basis of Proposition 8, that the care should be the priority. And what's going on right now is not. Dialysis.
Well, look, I asked her to speak to specifics so that you could respond to specifics. So she specifically said the language of the measure would exclude paying for positions that are required by law at kidney dialysis clinics, including physician medical director. Do you agree with that assessment of your language? And if so, why is that language in there?
So there's more flexibility in this than the industry lets on. The Department of Public Health will be the final decider on what positions qualify under this threshold. There will also be the option for the industry to appeal. So to act as if this is final, these positions yes, these positions no, is not true. The MD position is not someone who's on site every day, all day. In fact, it's someone who comes maybe a couple of times a week. What we are trying to classify under Proposition 8 are those who are providing the actual care, the registered nurses, the patient care technicians. These are the people that have built the relationship with patients. They know their conditions. They are integral to their survival. That's why they're included.
Kathy Fairbanks, I want to kind of parse this out because you've raised a specific objection by things that would not be allowable expenses under Proposition 8. If they were fixed, if the things you enumerated were allowed either by the State Department of Public Health or by a revised version of this proposition, would you still be opposing it?
That can't happen. That's the unfortunate problem with Proposition 8.
Why not? You raised
Sean
a specific
say,
objection. If
I'll
there's a solution specific to that objection, does it resolve your concerns or are they bigger than that?
They're bigger because the initiative doesn't allow those concerns to be resolved. The initiative is very clear in its language, and it says that under the definition of direct patient care services costs, only the wages, salaries, and benefits of non-managerial chronic dialysis clinic staff are allowable. Now, Sean has pointed to the Department of Public Health that could remedy this situation, but the Department of Public Health will be required to carry out the language of Proposition 8 should it pass. They cannot change something and add positions back in that the initiative itself expressly prohibits. That is the problem. They've drafted a flawed, deeply flawed initiative. And in fact, the independent nonpartisan legislative analyst for California, and every voter can read this in their ballot pamphlet, called this out as a concern. And if you go through and read the legislative analyst review, use the word unclear, uncertain, about 10 times. We went through and counted. And that is just not the kind of language you want in an initiative that's put before voters. And, you know, that there's an unclear interpretation, that it's being left up to the courts, that it's difficult to interpret.
Right,
all
right.
Of this points to problems.
Kathy Fairbanks, what I'm trying to establish here is whether you have a principled opposition to the state capping profits or whether you just think it's doing it the wrong way in this instance.
This is about Proposition 8. I mean, and it doesn't cap profits. It actually caps revenues. That's another misconception about Proposition 8. But, you know, put something else out there, perhaps. I mean, if UHW was really interested in improving patient care, they would have drafted a different initiative. It's not an improvement in patient care to have patients unable to find a dialysis clinic nearby and end up in the hospital three times a week because they need to get this life-saving treatment.
All right, we've got that point already. That's the voice of Kathy Fairbanks. She is a partner with the public relations firm Bicker, Castillo, and Fairbanks, and a spokesperson for the No on Proposition 8 Coalition. Also with us arguing in the affirmative, Sean Worley. He's a spokesperson for the Yes on Prop 8 campaign. He works for Service Employees International Union United Healthcare Workers West. And I want to put the question to you, Sean Worley. I think probably a lot of people are looking at their ballot and rueing the day that they registered to vote in California and had to make decisions on long, complicated pieces of regulation of a specific sector of the healthcare industry. Why should this be something that's decided at the ballot box?
As I said earlier, health insurance, health care costs are too expensive. Californians know this, especially in the Bay Area. And dialysis is one of the drivers of that. When they're charging up to $150,000 a year to cover a patient on dialysis, that's ridiculous, especially when the government is being reimbursed at the rate of $30,000. That gets passed on to all of us. We should be concerned because we're paying higher premiums, and it's unnecessary. We are basically funding the returns to shareholders of DaVita and Fresenius. For listeners out there, they may know someone on dialysis. They want to know that if their loved one ends up in a clinic, it's going to be clean and it's going to be safe. And yet that is not the issue. That is not the reality right now.
Right, but I feel like you're kind of avoiding the question. I mean, this is a long piece of language that the voters are going to be approving. When they do so, it becomes beyond the power of the legislature to tweak and adjust it and debug it. Why is this the kind of issue that's appropriate to be resolved on the ballot?
Because there are 80,000 Californians on dialysis. People may know someone. They may know someone who has dialysis in the future, needs dialysis.
Sure,
in the future.
You could take it to the Senate and Assembly. Why didn't you do that?
Yes, and so we did. And the industry crushed that bill. We sought to improve staffing levels, to allow longer transition times, to improve the safety. And the industry came down hard, killed it. So this is one more way to actually bring what should have been done long ago by this industry into the light of the voters. This is not a complicated issue. It may be a new one for them. But what's really at stake here is, are we going to improve patient care or are we going to pad the pockets of shareholders?
Kathy Fairbanks, sounds like you want to respond to that point.
I would love to respond to all of that. Number one, I think you raised a very good question. Why is this on the ballot? And if this were really about lowering healthcare costs, as Sean keeps saying, they would have drafted a very different initiative. Healthcare costs are going up across all sectors of healthcare, dialysis, hospitals, physicians. Why not put a measure, you know, across the board? They could have drafted a measure that affected all sectors of healthcare, but no, that's not what they did. It's only dialysis. That, I think, goes to motive. Another thing Sean just said, that there was a bill in the legislature. There was a bill in the legislature this year, SB 1156, and Sean said many of the same things about that bill as he's saying about Proposition 8. That bill actually did pass through the legislature. Governor Brown vetoed it about a month ago, said it wasn't necessary, and vetoed the bill. So, you know, the fact that Sean said the bill was killed. That was a different bill last year that was completely different from Proposition 8, and legislators decided it wasn't necessary. And as it goes to quality in dialysis facilities and dialysis clinics in California, I want to point to federal data. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services tracks every single dialysis clinic in the nation. They track patient quality care. They send out surveys to patients themselves. They track infection rates. On all three of those measures of quality, California is outperforming the national average. We have a higher patient quality care rating than the national average in California. We have higher patient satisfaction scores in California than the national average. And we have a 16% lower infection rate than the national average.
But Kathy Fairbanks, it seems like the central issue of this proposition is not the quality of care. It is whether the companies that are funding the campaign that is paying you to be in this debate are extracting monopoly-level profits from people with life-threatening conditions.
This also, remember, affects nonprofit providers, nonprofit dialysis clinic providers in California. It affects small independent providers in California. And again, if this were really about lowering healthcare costs, why not draft an initiative, or better yet, put something through the legislature where you can vet it for problems, that goes after this issue across the entire healthcare industry? That's just not what's happening here.
Sean Worley, do you want to respond on that point?
Yeah, so the price gouging that's happening is largely perpetuated by DaVita and Fresenius. It's not the nonprofits. Let's leave them out of this. The real fight here is by DaVita and Fresenius. Huge billion, this is a $22 billion industry in the U.S. They will do anything to protect those profits. And Kathy claiming that everything is swell here in California, that's wrong. State inspectors last year found 1,400 deficiencies when they went through clinics in California. Over the last 5 years, more than 4,000 dialysis patients in California have died from infections. If that sounds like something to brag about, well, then go tell that to the families who've lost someone from infection.
Then, Sean, why then didn't you draft an initiative that improved quality in clinics? If clinic quality is such a problem, why didn't you draft an initiative that, or put something through the legislature that improved inspections or required more inspections, or put any kind of quality metrics in Proposition 8? None of that is in there.
This initiative does address quality care.
No.
By instead of sending money to shareholders, it pushes the industry to put that money into patient care, whether that's hiring more staff,
that isn't true,
purchasing new equipment, and improving facilities. The choice is the industries. They can act as if their hands are tied. In reality, they have the resources. They will still make a profit, but that will upset their shareholders. So who gets screwed in the process? Patients. This is why we need to reorient the approach taken by the dialysis corporations.
I'm going to jump in here to disrupt the colloquy.
It needs to stop.
The last voice you just heard is Sean Worley. He's a spokesperson for the Service Employees International Union United Healthcare West, which is the principal sponsor of the Yes on Proposition 8 campaign, arguing against him, Kathy Fairbanks, who is a partner with the public relations firm Bicker, Castillo & Fairbanks. She is a spokesperson for the No on Proposition 8 coalition. And again, what Proposition 8 would principally do is regulate the profits of kidney dialysis providers, capping the amount they can charge based on their costs of providing care, plus a 15% profit margin. Sean, let me pose an argument that Kathy has not posed. These are for-profit companies. They do care about profit margins. If 15% is less of a profit margin than they can get by investing their capital elsewhere, it seems entirely plausible that they would start shutting kidney dialysis clinics down. What would be California's recourse then?
It's unlikely that they would have to close clinics because they will still have the means. Again, a $4 billion profit last year. This is the most populated state in the country. The demand is there. as more people need dialysis. And guess what? The money is still there. To think that these two huge corporations would walk away from the largest market is absurd.
All right. We gave Sean Worley the first word. Kathy Fairbanks, we'll give you the last because we are approaching our closing moments. Go ahead.
Thank you. I agree that one of the unfortunate consequences of Proposition 8 is that dialysis clinics would close. And patients really are the ones on the losing end if that happens. And as you pointed out, Brian, if clinics shut down, patients will have nowhere to go. I mean, that dialysis clinics exist to provide dialysis. If there are no clinics or fewer clinics or clinics, people can't find care, they will have to go to the hospital. There will be no alternative. Otherwise, patients without dialysis will die. And it's going to hit the hospitals hard. This is why the hospitals are opposed. This is why ER physicians are opposed. This is why the California Medical Association is opposed. Every editorial board in California is opposed because it's dangerous for patients. Proposition 8 will also increase healthcare costs. It's a poorly drafted initiative, and voters really should do their homework, and read the ballot pamphlet, read the editorials, and if you want to protect patients, vote no.
All right. Kathy Fairbanks, Sean Worley, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And the last voice you heard was Kathy Fairbanks. She's a partner in the public relations firm Baker, Castillo, and Fairbanks, a spokesperson for the No on Proposition 8 Coalition. Sean Worley, he works for Service Employees International, United Healthcare West. He is a spokesperson for the Yes on Proposition 8 campaign. What Proposition 8 would do is cap the amount of profits that can be harvested by companies providing kidney dialysis in the state of California. Specifically, it would limit the charges that they can levy on customers and on their insurance companies to 115% of their costs of providing care and any investments they make in improving the quality of their services. This is also the single most heavily funded proposition on the ballot. The No campaign has drawn about $100 million in opposition funding so far, almost the entirety of it coming from the dialysis industry, which is almost entirely to for-profit firms. The Yes side has drawn about $18 million in funding, the vast majority from Service Employees International Union, United Healthcare West. If you are wondering why that particular union cares about this particular issue, one thing they have been doing is trying to organize workers at dialysis clinics. Whew. Welcome to voting in California, folks. That takes us to 7:57 in the morning. The program's up front. My name's Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
And I'm Antonia Yuhas.
Have you completed your ballot yet?
Oh, gosh, no. I spend a lot of time reading through everything before I vote. But, I wish listeners could see the Prop 8 in front of us, because this is how many pages?
To be fair, this is the Ballotpedia page that rolls in, who are all the endorsed. Who are all the opponents? Where's the money coming from?
Which is what you want to read before you vote, right? So this is a good 40 pages of information, and that's just one measure. And these are all, of course, very important issues. And those of us in California have this special opportunity where we get to vote on a lot of things that other states don't get to. But, there is a lot on the ballot this year.
Yeah. I was just struck by how crazy our ballot initiative process is. The other day I went to Berkeley Bowl, and there were two campuses out front. Giving very energetic but garbled descriptions of what they were trying to get signatures on to passersby. And so I stopped and looked at what's on their clipboards, and it was the proposition that is being financed by the bail bond industry to referend the reform that abolishes cash bail that was just passed by the state legislature and signed by Governor Jerry Brown. Now, look, people have all kinds of opinions about that particular package. A lot of the prison abolitionist groups that went into the bill really wanting to get something passed were so unhappy with the final form that they pulled their support. But I can guarantee you, having listened to a few minutes of the conversations that the signature gatherers were having with passersby, that nobody knew what they were signing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have no idea what the bounty was per signature.
Well, and it's not just that. If you watch television, which I do, the TV is awash right now. Every single commercial is a bond measure election commercial, a proposition commercial. And if you just go by those commercials, you would literally have no idea, literally none. When I was watching the ballot measure commercials for eight, one gets the sense that this is about regulation, a regulatory fight, as our discussion just showed. It has nothing to do with regulation. It has nothing to do with a regulatory fight except for a cap on profits. Commercials are, however, still the primary way that people make their decisions on ballot initiatives. And please don't do that. Please listen to Upfront and listen to our debates and make your decisions based on information that you learn here.
That was a smooth plug, Antonia Juhas.
Thank you.